This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for your desktop or mobile device. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter. Visit enterpriseinspace.org for more details.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To The Journey. I'm your co-host, Zachary Frueling, and with me, as always, are...
Kay Shaw and...
Suzanne Williamson.
Well, today we are going to do something that is well within To The Journey's wheelhouse, something that is new for us. We are going to do an episode commentary, and we are going to do the commentary on the first season episode, Emanations.
Yeah, so we've been thinking about doing a commentary for a little while, and a couple of weeks ago when we had Bruce on, we talked to him about what commentary he'd like to see us do. And Emanations is the one that he picked, so that's the one that we're going to do a commentary for, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
It will be fun. I will say that I am nervous. This is kind of like improv, and I've always sucked at improv, so I apologize in advance to everyone.
See, I couldn't be more excited. First of all, I love the episode Emanations, and I'm a lifelong Mystery Science Theater 3000 fan, so I figure this is like my big MST3K debut with Star Trek.
Wow, are you a fan, Zachary? You've not mentioned that before.
Except I will treat this episode lovingly. I will not take unnecessary pot shots at it. Well, we are not going to waste another minute, so let's go ahead and get started. If you're listening along and you want to follow along with the commentary, pause our episode right now, and when you come back, be ready to hit play on the countdown. We're going to give you a 3-2-1 start countdown, and when we hit start, go ahead and hit start on your DVD or on your Netflix. Okay, everyone, so hit play in 3, 2, 1, start.
Oh, what a pretty ship.
And there's our old friend, the intrepid Voyager.
Yeah, pretty planet rings.
Where are they, Saturn?
I don't know. That's what I'm just wondering.
It's like they grabbed some old NASA footage and threw it in there to save some money.
Yeah. Obviously tight on the budget. We've discovered a new element.
This is like team effort sciencing here.
So this would be where Chakotay gets the ideas to make things out of stuff that they find. Shuttlecrafts, torpedoes. Yes.
A new element. What can I make out of that?
Everyone else is thinking, oh, new element. What can we do? Maybe it's a source of power. No, Chakotay's thinking, can I whittle that? he's ranked the periodic table in order of whittle ability.
I love how enthusiastic Harry Kim is to go on an away mission. I mean, this is only like episode 8 of Voyager, and he's like so excited to go on an away mission.
Oh yeah, he was psyched there, wasn't he?
And here's our Mulder and Scully moment.
Are the spider webs like a foreshadowing for Queen Arachnia later down the line?
I'm not sure. That's a very good point, actually. Maybe.
This scene reminds me of the intro to the X-Files so much. You know,
yes.
Mulder and Scully walking around with their flashlights in the dark.
It just needs to be a little choppier motion.
Yeah, it needs some slightly more camera work.
Uh-oh. B'Elanna sees dead people.
Oh.
There's something here, and it's dead people.
I see dead people.
I see dead people. naked ones.
I want to know more about this humanoid classification system.
So
these
do
are
I.
Class 5 humanoids.
Class 5 humanoid.
So what would be a class 4? Or
a
class 6?
Proto-Vulcans.
Oh, more dead people.
There's like 12 people in the entire history of their planet. That's how many people are littered around this room.
Well, is it the Delta Quadrant equivalent of a body farm?
Yeah.
I was thinking there'd be a lot more of these people, right? If this thing is being used to transport dead people over and over and over
there
again, how come there's only like 12
on top
bodies?
Of people, yeah.
Yeah.
Or did we hear in the episode that they are scattered around different asteroids in this system? Like, this isn't the only place these dead bodies exist.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure whether they said that, actually. But yeah, I agree. That struck me as well. It's like, there's like 18 of them or something. Like, really? They send like 3 on the day they're there.
I love the opening. I still love the opening. It's all of like, yeah, Tom Paris's watch me do this moments. I'm going to fly through this. I'm going to fly through that. Really, Tom, you shouldn't do that.
This is like body surfing through a nebula.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like this bit where you get the sort of coloration on the bow wave, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. It's such a pretty opener.
Is it actually your favorite Star Trek opener?
This is my favorite opening.
I think so, yeah.
Out of all of them.
I don't know. Do I want to admit this? It might be Enterprise.
Oh, no! I mean, look at Voyager's reflection on those rings. That's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah,
see, that's awesome. That looks fake to me. I was like, real rings don't do that, do they? Maybe they do. I don't know.
Have you been in space lately?
I don't know.
As if I have a basis for comparison.
Yeah, you know, just because the planetary rings you flew over this week didn't reflect.
Pivot those nacelles, yes! Sorry, I had
Woo-hoo!
A moment.
I love that.
I was confusing with the rings I flew over last week, sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it was 18, I win.
Good guess. Good memory.
That was a good guess.
You don't want to be around the body that arrived less than 12 hours ago. Like, say, I would judge by the smell that the bodies have been here about a week.
Yeah, that's quite grim.
Who needs a tricorder?
They have a lot of byproducts of their decomposition process.
They do.
I love that Harry gets a chance to stand up for himself and kind of say what he thinks. You know, he's contradicting Chakotay a little bit. It's
and
nice
gets
to see
shot down.
Yes.
Early in Voyager. Well, yeah, yeah, Kim's always getting shot down, right? But
I'm afraid I agree with Commander Chakotay.
She's not afraid of it.
Who agrees with Chakotay? Raise your hand. Now, who agrees with Ensign Kim?
Now, I don't understand why he's anti-tricorders on the bodies. It's not like you're, you know, being pokey and proddy with them.
Wait, what exactly is the difference between an active scan and a passive scan? Like, does the active scan actually shoot stuff out and bounce off the bodies? Like, what's so harmful about it?
I don't remember ever seeing that in Star Trek, but maybe. Who knows? Look. Now we've got Dad giving Son the lecture. Son, this is what happened to me, so learn from my mistakes. I really like that. Yeah.
And we find out Chakotay is a grave robber.
We do find out that Chakotay is a grave robber, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whoops. Accidental grave robber.
My That's bad.
Good. It is honestly like Dad lecturing the kids here. Oh, B'Elanna makes me laugh.
See, he's such a hypocrite because that flashlight is like 10 times more harmful than the tricorder would be.
And B'Elanna has become Captain Obvious. Just some naked dead people. That's all I see.
I love how he's gone into like Academy lecturer mode here.
I used to be a professor of archaeology before I was a member of the
Monkey. So, they're naked. That means they bury their dead naked. Did you not manage to work that out?
I think he's drawing way too many inferences from what he's seeing, don't you think?
I don't know. Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, that's nice and precise. Some belief in the afterlife. Nice and precise there, Mr. Chakotay.
Yeah. I know, I find this whole bit interesting, really interesting.
I mean, this is something I love about Voyager in general. I love that they're exploring the unknown, and this is weird. It's mysterious. They get to do a little exploring there.
And now he pulls out the tricorders. Why is it okay now? Because there's a bright light?
Because they might die in a minute. Apparently, in case of imminent death, you can use the tricorder as much as you want.
Why is Seska running the transporters? Shouldn't she be at engineering?
That's what I wondered.
And her uniform color changes color quite a bit, right? She goes from yellow to blue to...
She does. And I also really like the fact that she's operating the transporter, and then it doesn't work properly. And
what is her job, anyway?
Do we ever really learn what her job is?
Janeway has to tell her how to use the transporter, even though she's the one doing it. I quite liked that. She's like, I can't get them. And Janeway's like, press this button. And then she gets them. I'm like...
Don't forget to push the rematerialize button.
Yeah, I don't know whether they're just trying to make Seska more visible so that they can do the plot they're going to do later. I don't know, because she's not particularly relevant to this episode aside from they have her play with the transporter a bit, is she? We can't interfere with this woman's natural process of death.
If she died just a few minutes ago, why does she have all the spider web all over her?
I know.
I gotta say, I'm not with Chakotay on this one. I sort of think Prime Directive would be damned if you can save someone's life. You should probably do it. So who cares about interfering? Just revive the person.
You can always kill them again later.
Right.
If it becomes that much of a diplomatic incident.
There are two constants in the universe, the next emanation and taxes.
Okay, this egg thing, it reminds me of Lady Gaga. It's like Gaga should be coming out of there instead of Harry Kim.
I thought it reminded me of Vedic / Kai Winn a bit, which is not something I ever want to be reminded of.
Yes, the hat does it.
Yes.
I could picture a Lady Gaga outfit made out of that spider web stuff.
Yes, definitely.
That would be awesome.
As she comes out of the egg.
Yes. Now, I really like these guys' makeup. I think it's cool. The nose thing is slightly distracting, though. Do you always find yourself staring at their nose while they're talking?
Yes, I'm like, which one is their real nostril?
Yes. It is cool, though.
And if they get a runny nose, does it come out of all four?
I hope not. That would be awful. Oh.
See, I have a hard time feeling sorry for these guys. Like, you know, if you're walking into the death machine on purpose, I have no sympathy.
Well, I feel sad for this guy because doesn't his family make him walk into the death machine?
Kind of like Logan's Run or...
Yeah, he...
What is it? Soylent Green?
It kind of reminds me of that thing. After you now. Off you go.
You do kind of get the sense that his family's talking him into this. Like, he doesn't really want to, but...
Yes, definitely.
He's got doubts. He's kind of skeptical of the old beliefs or whatever.
That, and then to just say goodbye.
Look at him, he's all sad.
It's like, really? There should be more emotion there than just goodbye.
I just spent the whole of this episode wanting to give him a hug.
This is a really weird situation, though. Imagine, like, going to a funeral and having an alien show up.
Yeah.
It is a really weird scene when you think about it.
It is weird. You're just there, like, sort of talking away, knock, knock, knock. Whoa!
Yeah, it doesn't seem so weird because, you know, these are aliens and we've got Harry Kim here as a human. But imagine that this situation really happening in real life, going to a funeral and having a body show up, an alien body show up in the casket.
That would be like the X-Files.
Yeah, the aliens are way too calm for this to be happening. They should be freaking out a little that this thing showed up.
Yeah, I also find it weird that they say he came back. I'm like, he wasn't here to start with.
Who's this guy? He doesn't have enough nostrils. He didn't come back.
He doesn't belong to us. He needs more nostrils.
Did you guys get a clear impression of whether these aliens were warp capable? Were they spacefaring aliens, or was this a pre-warp?
I don't
culture?
Think so. We don't see that really, do we? I don't think we see a lot about their culture at all, really. They kind of play them off to be a bit more primitive, though, don't they?
Speaking of the X-Files, wasn't this guy in the X-Files?
I don't know.
I think he was.
Okay. They're obviously aware of other races. Because they're not freaked out by aliens, and he's just asked, what race are you from? So they're obviously aware of the existence of other races. So maybe they are warp capable.
Mm-hmm.
Or they just have people visit.
Maybe. Maybe they don't have a prime directive in the Delta Quadrant whereby people don't visit them if they're not warp capable yet.
Well, that's good because Captain Janeway is always breaking it.
That is true.
I love that he's reassuring the guy, like, don't panic, you'll still be dead tomorrow. It's okay.
I've just had a hilarious thought about the Prime Directive now, though, because I'm just like, can you imagine them like going somewhere to a Delta Quadrant kind of culture and then accidentally interacting with some people that aren't warp capable yet, and them going, I don't know why you're worried about that. None of the other aliens here are worried about that. They come and poke us all the time. That would be amusing. Yeah, because obviously, like, the Kazon don't care with the Ocampa and stuff.
Yeah.
I love he's about to give him a geometry lesson. Like, I'm going to show you how to get from where I was to where we are now. If you can plot a star chart, I can do some trigonometry.
Do you have any star charts on
dimensional trig. Dimensional trigonometry, the idea of that scares me.
Oh, snarky doctor.
I love, they had to work in there that it was a class 5 life form twice.
Yeah.
He's like, I picked up a sample of Lady Gaga's dress at the concert.
I also really liked the phrase, the standard post-mortem resuscitation technique. I want to know what that is as well.
Oh, yeah.
Just insert probes into their head and go, psh.
That's the class that immediately follows Chakotay's archaeology class.
Yeah.
There's prerequisites, so.
The look on Chakotay's face when he finds out he was strolling through dead bodies.
Oh, gosh, yes. That gets me every time. Like, he just kind of gets this, ew, 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 ew.
It touched my face. It touched my face.
Yeah.
I'm Lindsay Ballard. Oh, wait, wrong episode. I'm sorry. Again, it's like an alien abduction scene, though. Look at the way it's filmed with the camera angle down low and Janeway and the doctor staring over.
Where's the probe?
It totally.
Is, yeah. Also, you'd think that all of them would be kind of experienced and trained enough that they'd realize that, like, they're freaking her out by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
How about, like, the four of you move away from looming over her?
Step away from the biome. Yeah.
And then they just, like, inject her with something. I'm like, no wonder she's terrified.
And they keep holding her down. It's like, stop.
Yeah.
That's making it worse.
Yeah. They didn't come across their best there, did they?
No.
I love this great visual inspection that Harry Kim is giving of the pod device here.
Like, where's Lady Gaga supposed to be?
Passive scans.
Don't let getting back to my own dimension get in the way of science. I did think it was interesting that they kind of just go, yeah, it's from another dimension. He's like, oh, I've gone to another dimension. And they never quite establish if that's exactly what's happened.
It's a dimension of sight, of sound.
Yeah.
This guy seems to indicate that it's a natural phenomenon, so why do they need this machine and the vacuole and the computers and all this stuff to make it happen?
To make it easier to kill people.
Yeah, I know. Well, they obviously kill them before they get zapped away, don't they?
Well, it's the egg thing that kills them.
Some sort of computerized coffin. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's like a computer and a coffin and something had a...
And an electric chair altogether.
An electric chair, yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Are you saying when we die, we go to some asteroid and decompose?
If all their dead people go to the next emanation, how do they even know what decomposition is, right? Have they ever seen one of their fellow beings decompose? I guess if you die in the wrong place, like accidentally, then you would decompose. Like,
yeah, if you die at home and somebody finds you a week later.
Also, I'm assuming they have like animals and stuff.
I know I'm overthinking this, but like what happens if you die early before your time and you don't get a chance to go to the next emanation?
That sucks.
Well, I guess the guy says the machine kills you, right? It kills you and then it sends you to the next emanation, right?
Man, I got cheated.
I just want to make sure I had my facts right. So you have to die before you can go to the next emanation.
Yes. Yes, they kill them first.
Mm-hmm. Very, very compassionate, yeah.
You are our first glimpse as to what lies beyond death.
Oh, those poor people. It's Harry Kim.
Didn't expect anyone to say that to you when you got up this morning, did you, Harry?
You guys are my first glimpse of what happens when people go crazy.
Yes. I do like how Chakotay gets to science quite a bit this episode. Also, I really like it whenever we're at the science station because it has science written at the top really big.
Big letters.
Did you guys catch the fact that you guys at home can't see this, but we're watching with closed caption on? The doctor's name is closed caption Zimmerman.
Oh, mine didn't.
Did you
say
catch that?
No, I didn't.
Okay, you have to go back and rewatch that. Not right now, obviously, but
it doesn't say that on Amazon Prime.
It's a. It said Zimmerman says blah 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 blah.
I love how she says, what happens when you die? Janeway is in no way fazed by the question.
We're not sure exactly, but I'm going to give you a scientific answer for sure. I love how this narrative is taken out of like 1970s pop psychology. It's like, you know, we're in the age of Aquarius, and when you die, you go to the next plane, the higher plane of existence. Greater. It's like, I understand the universe, man.
Yeah.
It's trippy.
It is. Come on. You'd be wondering what the heck was going on here. This is not what I expected from the afterlife.
Didn't think the lights would be so bright.
And we see that theme again later with poor Neelix.
Yes.
Like, well, we could replicate you a uniform if you don't know what to do now.
We always need more people.
You know how to work a transporter? Seska won't be here very long.
I was going to say. Well, Seska won't be here very long and she needs the captain to stand next to her and tell her how to use it. Because she's not a transporter chief. Well, they don't have a transporter chief, do they? They just kind of make it up as they go along.
Everybody takes a turn. Now, do you think it's a good idea to let her out of sick bay?
I don't know.
Because Kes just wanted to start walking her around. I'm like, that's not the best idea. She just was, you know, resuscitated.
Yeah, she seems like she's perked up a bit, though.
I love this ghost-attracting warp core concept.
It is odd, isn't it?
B'Elanna sees more dead people.
Yeah.
B'Elanna sees dead people. That's awesome.
Now, this is the bit where it all gets a bit... I don't know. This bit just kind of... I find it weird.
Well, I'm wondering if she had a life insurance policy.
She's messing with your beliefs.
On him. And she needed him to die so she could get the money.
I'm getting some kind of impression like that. It's like, oh, don't say we're not getting rid of you anymore.
Yeah, she's a little too eager for him to kick the bucket.
She's very eager, isn't she?
He's like, I don't know if I'm ready to go to...
Voyager. Because that's where you go when you die, apparently. Well, now it is. Now it is.
I don't know if I'm ready to go to Woodstock and go to a higher level of consciousness, man. It's like, what is this, a Grateful Dead concert? It's really sweet. It's half sweet and it's half poking fun at all the hokey religious stuff in the world.
I was thinking it's more half sweet, half creepy. You stay away from him.
Well, what I don't get is they already said goodbye. Why is she back?
Yeah. Because he's like changing his mind.
Stay away from my husband. I need the money.
Yeah. You don't understand. I get a million of pounds or dollars or whatever. if he dies.
I guess they don't have replicators on this society. Like, how could he be a burden unless they're really steeped in the material economy still?
Exactly.
There's a lot of talk of other dimensions, but I don't get the sense that it's another dimension at all. It's just like
no,
somewhere else in space,
right?
No, that's
what I'm thinking.
I don't know why they've worked so much dimension talk in there.
Yeah. I kind of guess I've never really visualized it as that. I've always visualized it as being, it's just some place a long way away, potentially. Mm-hmm. Who knows where.
Yeah, I mean, it could be like a wormhole or something that, like, you know, if the wormhole is like a shortcut through different points in three-dimensional space, then it could be like a naturally occurring, you know, space wormhole transporter or something.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of get that maybe Voyager gets that it might be another dimension if they could get that from the tricorder scans of it when it shows up, but...
Okay, he just has a bum leg. That's all the dude
he's
has.
Like a horse, you know, when the horse has a bum leg, you put him down, right?
He keeps doing that pained horse face every now and then, though.
He's a racehorse.
It's time for you to go to the big, you know, pasture in the sky.
Glue factory.
Yeah. Dog food.
Jello.
There are some people who are eager to die if they feel depressed. That's a bit... I'm like, where were the writers going with this episode? It gets a bit...
I don't know.
It all gets a bit deep.
See, I just can't relate to these people at all. I really cling to this belief that you just, you know, at all costs, you cling to life. You don't just... throw it away. So
yeah.
I sympathize with Harry Kim and
yeah,
it's like no, this isn't what you do. Life is too precious just to throw it away, so
I guess, but if they're believing they're going to some other life, I don't know.
Meeting up with family.
It is odd.
Yeah, I guess it's not really like death if it's an afterlife, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Because we don't really hear very much about what they think that their afterlife is like, other than, well, they see their family and stuff. But apart from that.
Yeah.
Don't worry. After you're reincarnated, you can have a guest spot in Lady Gaga's next performance.
She always needs dancers.
One of the dancers, you know.
Oh, but he wouldn't be able to do it because he's got a bad leg.
Are you saying this is the next emanation?
That's
all,
the title of her next
of Lady
album.
Lady Gaga's backing dancers.
That better be the title of her next album. Lady Gaga, the next emanation.
We need to tweet Lady Gaga. Your next album should be called The Next Emanation. It so sounds like the kind of thing that she would call an album as well, so.
That's true.
Oh, we're back to Saturn.
We are back to Saturn.
Or the beginning of Star Trek The Next Generation, one or the other.
They made it back to the Alpha Quadrant.
Yay. The girls are sciencing the science again. Woo!
And more dead people.
Love it.
The morgue has to be full by now.
Yeah. Well, my question at this point is, how have they now ended up with more dead people on Voyager in like half a day than they ended up with on the asteroid in however many years?
See, if this story took place on Deep Space Nine instead of Voyager, it would be, take the body to Garak. He can make a great shirt out of that silk.
Probably, yeah. Biopolymer residue.
It's all the rage on the promenade.
It is. You know that Garak could totally sell, like, any kind of clothing.
Oh, yeah.
As being the latest trend. Totally.
He could sell silk shirts to dead people. Like selling ice to an Eskimo.
Or silk shirts made out of dead people.
What color is that shirt? Oh, Soylent Green.
No, yeah. Soylent Green is people.
Soylent Green t-shirts.
I'm now getting worried about what that stuff is actually made of. Oh, I like this scene. Kes. Oh, lovely Kes.
This is such classic Kes, isn't it?
It is. It's very classic Kes. Everyone else is freaked to the heck out, and Kes is like, it's fine.
Here, we'll come have snacks.
Yeah, I'll take the girl for snacks.
If this took place on The Next Generation, it would be Worf sitting here saying, sometimes I just come here and stare at the stars and drink prune juice.
You can't make juice out of a prune!
It's interesting you say that, because I was thinking if this was The Next Generation, it would be Troy sat there and they'd be eating chocolate ice cream.
Chocolate. Mm-hmm.
Chocolate pudding, chocolate ice cream.
Do we ever learn what Kes's favorite snacks are?
Isn't it Jim Bailey and fudge cake?
It could be.
Could be, could be.
Could be Jim Bailey and fudge cake.
Can't remember.
Spinach juice with a hint of pear? Wasn't that one of Kes's?
She dirt. Eats dirt, yes. Too.
Only in that one episode. I don't think she normally eats dirt.
She's like, now that you're back to life, you're going to need to get your strength up. Here, have some dirt.
It's full of iron.
Yeah. See, I find it really interesting that Kes says that they bury their people in the soil. When they already live underground. I just found that kind of weird.
Like a catacomb, I guess.
I was going to say they must have some kind of, you know.
Like in the back closet or something?
Yeah.
Just throw some clothes on top of
them. They already live underground. Yeah. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Staff meeting. Chakotay's got his serious face on.
Does. It's like, I was just working on this pad here.
Chakotay's serious face.
When they say the name Patera, all I hear is pterodactyl.
Yeah, me too.
Send her back to the dinosaur planet.
Every time.
Back to the Voth.
Her brother
was
Triceratops.
Fab. I'm prepared to die again if necessary. That is a great sentence.
You only get that kind of sentence in Star Trek.
Yep. Pretty much.
Okay, how many times has she touched Chakotay's shoulder in this episode? At least 4 times.
I don't know, but I was thinking, is he actually concentrating on what he's doing or just thinking about that and pretending to concentrate on what he's doing? Oh, we're back at Saturn again.
And Seska's still locked in the transporter room.
Yeah, I know. Has she been there the whole episode? Why is she not in engineering helping the warp core to not explode?
Because Chakotay's there leaning in a Riker-like manner.
He's singing I'm a Little Teapot, apparently. Just looking at the way he's leaning there. It's fine. We're going to beam you back to your asteroid now.
Good luck. Don't die.
Good luck. You're great.
She's like, last time this did not go as planned.
Oh, Seska. Janeway's telling her how to use the transporter. Why doesn't Janeway just run the transporter?
I know, like rush over there and push buttons.
She's like, what are you, incompetent? Let me show you how to do it.
Oh.
Not this again.
Oh. Man, they decompose really fast.
Dead. Yeah, they do. Maybe it's something to do with going through the subspace thing. Two hours to find Harry.
Dun, dun, dun.
Quick, someone start the timer. It's like, oh well, never mind, she died. We just lob her on the asteroid now. That's where she would have gone anyway.
Given how hard they worked to revive her the first time, I love they just totally give up. Like, oh, let's not even
bother
well, this time.
Let's just stick her back on the asteroid now. Poor thing. It's like she's just a plot device.
That was that was like an extreme close-up of Harry's nose. Like, it's like, why? Why?
Maybe it's
Calm
to
down,
make
Harry.
Up for his lack of nostrils. Now
he's
I can't stop
envy.
Looking at
I
Harry's
know.
Nose.
I'm like staring at his nostrils.
Yeah.
It's like a widescreen, you know, one of those fisheye lens shots of his nose.
Yeah.
I mean, aren't these like extreme close-ups for this back and forth between Harry and this alien?
They are, aren't they? They're very close.
It's very
in.
Twilight Zone-ish.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's just an interesting choice of filming. I'm not sure why they would.
You know, when they try and spook you on the Twilight Zone, they get really close.
And notice that the camera's tilted to an angle, too.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. And also, I felt like when they were filming the alien guy, they're shooting from slightly underneath.
Mm-hmm.
It makes him feel like he's looming more. I don't know whether that's a conscious decision in terms of production to make it feel that bit more creepy. Yeah, there is some weird camera work here, isn't there, that just makes it feel a bit ethereal?
Yeah, but I don't think it feels creepy if that's the intention. Like, it doesn't translate.
It just makes it feel a bit weird. Maybe creepy's not quite the right word.
Why is this guy putting himself into a shroud when everybody else was naked?
Oh, no, that's the thing. I think you when you go to the next emanation, it leaves the shroud behind, right? You wrap yourself in the shroud, it sucks you
it
into the next emanation, and then it leaves the shroud behind.
Because he's saying it's the one his dad wore, so it must stay behind.
Then why bother putting yourself in it? If you don't get to take it with you.
Do you think those little markings are like the little afterimage, like the Shroud of Turin? But...
I don't know, but I'm thinking... I'm thinking it wrapped at the stage that it's at, like that, with one shoulder missing. It just makes me think that is totally an outfit that David Bowie would have worn.
Definitely.
Do you think if you unwrapped it, if you unwrapped it, would you see like a ghost image of his ancestors?
Maybe.
And this guy is super bony too. Like skeletal.
He's a really thin dude.
He is. The solution.
Let's give him a good show.
The solution was awesome. I enjoyed this a lot. You just leg it, and I'll get in the coffin.
I mean, this is a pretty big act of faith on Harry Kim's part. You know, I hope they can revive me. You know, he's banking on the fact that they can revive him, and that's quite a gamble.
Well, and how does he know they haven't moved on?
That is true.
I mean, this could be lights out for Harry Kim.
Again.
It could, but the alternative is him staying there and being, like, scientifically experimented on, so I think I'd give it a go, to be honest.
Not only would he be the longest rather than being the longest serving ensign in Starfleet, he would be the shortest serving ensign in Starfleet, 8 episodes.
Well, he does have a whine in Caretaker, doesn't he, about dying on his first away mission, so he's made it past there, at least.
Right.
Because we do get that bit, don't we, Caretaker? He's like, oh, I spent so long studying and now I'm going to die on my first mission. Wah, wah.
And all I have to show for it are these stupid gems from the horse.
That's right. Take it off. Take off that creepy shroud.
So is he literally wearing nothing under here? Because this is about to get awkward.
It's going
to
get really awkward. Look away, Harry. Look away.
Hope they have a towel or something nearby.
At least a loincloth, anyway.
Fig leaf. Now,
doesn't she notice the... Wow, he's gotten a little buff.
Leola root leaf.
He's about to die, but he's buffed up some. He's not the skeleton that she said goodbye to.
You'd think so. You'd think. Isn't it convenient that they wrap themselves in a shroud so that he could do that?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
I mean, it's kind of Egyptian. I mean, he looks like a mummy in there.
It's like, arg, arg, get this off me. I'm feeling really claustrophobic. Oh, God, now I can see that I'm in a coffin.
Well, at least they didn't pull his brain out of his nostrils.
That is true.
If you're going to go true Egyptian.
Yeah, and put it into those canopic jars or whatever.
I'm bringing the plague of the Delta Quadrant.
Oh, you know she's thinking about getting that check right now. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm getting some money.
Oh, yeah, she's
money.
Salivating.
She's the one that presses the button
exactly.
as well.
Exactly.
She is a little too eager, you're right.
She's just dying to get him, like, sent out there. She's like, ah! And then it's like, just, eh.
What are these weird things that go into his neck? It's like,
well,
two
they clearly,
little mini lightsabers.
Like, shock his brain and just kill him.
It's
don't
the
they?
Electric chair. At least they're not putting the bodies in the morgue anymore.
No, they're just lobbing them back on the asteroid.
For half a second there, I thought they mistook Harry Kim's body for a body of a female humanoid.
No,
we
Harry's...
We just received the body of a female humanoid. Oh, it's just Harry.
Harry's not quite back yet.
But he's dead now, right? Because they killed him.
Yep,
yes,
exactly.
He is dead. That's Harry now, isn't it?
Is this the first time Harry Kim dies? Because he dies a few times. Is this the first time
in
Voyager?
Sure,
it might be.
It could be.
This might be the beginning of a meme, a trend.
Maybe this is the first time that Harry dies.
More beauty shots of Saturn.
Oh, serious walk. Serious walk. Oh, quick.
Even Tuvok looks concerned.
He does. There was a shade of a frown there.
Dramatic pause.
And he's back.
The suspense was killing me. See, look, it says
Dr.
Zimmerman says,
I saw
right?
it that time.
Again, they're holding people down on the bio bed. Stop holding people down on bio beds. It freaks them out.
Well, at least he knows who they are.
I think I'm going to file a bug report on their closed captions. Go, hey, you know, he's not really Dr. Zimmerman.
Yeah. They must be the original captions.
Mm-hmm. Because he was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But this is like 8 episodes in.
I know. I don't know when they were planning on revealing that was his name, when it was going to be his name.
Yeah, I wouldn't eat that either, Harry.
I don't know. This is something we have to investigate.
But this must be the... I assume the subtitles they did for, like, the first VHS, I guess.
This is the weirdest part of the job speech. The proto-weirdest part of the job speech.
It is. It's kind of cuter, though, because it's less suck it up and more you take your time.
Mm-hmm. I like it better when she's suck it up. It's like, this just happens. Mm-hmm. Deal with it.
She's like, you mean I have to die to discuss your insights on death?
Yeah. Yes, you do.
What is this, Star Trek 4?
Well, he had a lecture from Dad at the beginning of the episode. Now he's getting a lecture from Mum.
You really have gone where no man has gone before.
Yeah. See, I think what she really wants to say is you take 2 days to, you know, sort your head out, and then I want to talk to you about what you saw, because science! Aww. It's got all profound. Paint. You paint, Harry. I want to see Harry's paintings.
Oh, write a little song on your clarinet.
Can you imagine, like, a day later she pops by to see how he's doing, and he's... I don't know, I was just going to say that I think she pops by a couple of days later to see how he's doing, and she's just got this on the easel, and it looks like the scream from Monk. It's like, I don't think you're coping with this as well as I thought you were, Harry. Just something really, really, like, surrealist.
See, Janeway's going all spiritual here. You know, that neural energy, what if it's part of the afterlife?
Yeah.
What?
She is.
She's kind of sciencing it up, too.
Yeah, she's still sciencing it up, though, isn't mm-hmm. she? Because she's like, if there's an afterlife, there's at least going to be a scientific explanation for the afterlife. It's going to be a sciencey afterlife. I do like this quote, though. What we don't know about death is far, far greater than what we do yeah. know. I like that's how they end the episode, because the episode's quite unsettling. So I like that they kind of round it off with something slightly more encouraging, as it were.
Why is no one else in the mess hall?
Oh, Harry's, look at Harry's dreamy face.
So young, so innocent.
Yeah. Aww.
Don't you think they're like way overthinking this, Aww. Though? Like, you know, he's like, hey, wait a minute, I was dead. I didn't see squat.
Yeah. Yeah, because nobody's actually asked him what happened over there yet.
No.
Or if they have, it's off screen.
And I would think Chakotay would want to know. You know, different
Gosh,
civilizations.
Yes.
Oh,
definitely.
Find out about stuff.
Hmm. He's all about the death rituals.
Well, you guys, that was Emanations. Do you have any thoughts on the afterlife from watching this episode? Or are you ready to go off to a Lady Gaga concert now?
I'm on my way to Gaga.
I know. I felt like I found this episode possibly even more unsettling this watch than I have previously. It's quite a mess with your head kind of episode. There's a lot of stuff going on in there, but I feel like they bring it back at the end. They do bring it back at the end, because I'm like, where are you going to be dropped here? You know, it's incredibly existential, isn't it? It's very sort of challenging in that way, and it's like, I know Star Trek's challenging. But it's like, if Wednesday night or whatever night it is, just throw my Voyager on. I'm just like, wow. I'm not sure that, like, over my tea or whatever, eating my dinner in the evening, I'd be like, wow, this was quite challenging compared to what I was expecting.
What I want to know is, what happened to the dude that was supposed to die? Where did his story go from this point? Did his wife get the insurance check? I want to know these
insurance
answers.
Fraud, all the way. She's a little too eager. I never really picked up on this until you started driving the point home, Suzanne, but she was really ready to push that button.
Yep.
She's like, I am tired of your...
She's done with this dude.
Maybe they don't have divorce in their society.
Maybe not. But yeah, he runs off to the mountains and has an exciting life.
But he's got a bad leg. He can't run anywhere.
He's limping his way up the mountain.
All right, he's hopping his way to the mountains. Oh, bless him. There was something very melancholy about him. He was just a sad character.
Yeah.
Well, he reminds me of, what's that episode from Star Trek The Next Generation where Timmison has to commit suicide at a certain age?
Oh, David Ogden Stiers. I love that episode.
Yeah, this is like a rehash of that episode, right? It's another ritual suicide Prime Directive episode.
Which is kind of just a rehash of Logan's Run. You know, you reach a certain age, got to turn yourself in.
Still, though, I can't really relate. Kay, I like your existential connection. Yeah, we might all be beings towards death in some sort of Heideggerian Sylvia Plath kind of sense, but that doesn't mean we have to rush towards it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One of the more challenging episodes of Voyager, I think, particularly early on, because this is an early episode. Yeah. And I feel like we've had some relatively lighthearted episodes up to now, so I feel like this, not having watched it in first run, I wonder what people's reaction was to it.
I think it holds up remarkably well. I mean, a lot of the first season Voyager episodes feel like a first season episode. I think this one holds up really, really well compared to other episodes in season one.
Yeah, but it's certainly one of the more serious episodes.
Mm-hmm. Well, the issues are timeless, right? You know, we all face our mortality and we all have to deal with these questions. And these are universal themes, so it'll resonate forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you guys, it's been a lot of fun talking about Emanations and doing our first episode commentary, or as Kay would say, commentary, together. But this isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on Trek FM, so here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
It doesn't take much to take some of the most iconic TOS stories and see how the reboot cast could add their own flavor and make it cool and interesting to watch.
Warp 5.
They think that it breaks continuity by having them in there, and it breaks established continuity. And I felt that way as well the first few times that I watched this episode. I was not happy to see the Ferengi in here. I thought it was fan service. I thought it was a little bit too much fan service. And I also thought that it didn't make any sense because of what had been established in The Last Outpost and the battle.
Saturday Morning Trek.
And the backgrounds were actually reused later in other Filmation properties.
That would be cool to see that. I never watched the He-Man cartoon, but I'm sure if I watched it today, I'd be going like, oh, that's the planet from yesteryear or whatever episode.
Melodic Treks.
You know, when you're used to recording either at Abbey Road or Sony Studios in Hollywood, it's hard to go to another room that doesn't have that same kind of sound, you know. And also the depth of players is not, you know, it's just not as deep as it is here in London, for instance, you know.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out these shows and find out what we're talking about in your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button. That helps us out greatly, and it makes it easier for other listeners to find the show as they search iTunes. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Stitcher, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and of course you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website and grab the RSS link as well.
You can help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week by becoming a patron of the network on Patreon. If you visit patreon.com/trekfm, that's patreon.com/trekfm, you'll find our current goals and different milestone contribution levels, along with all the great perks we have for you. These perks include early access to content, exclusive content, producer credits, seats on our content development team, and more. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
We'd like to take a moment to acknowledge the rest of the To The Journey team from the network, specifically C. Brian Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek FM, our executive producers, Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp, Aaron Harvey, our art director, Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Brandon Shea Metalla, our Patreon manager. We'd also like to give a big shout out to our associate producers, Bruce Lish, Drew Kim, and Norman Lau. Thanks very much for your support of Trek FM and off to the journey.
Don't forget to check out Enterprise in Space, a project of the nonprofit National Space Society. Visit enterpriseinspace.org to find out more and to get your seat on the mission. Also check out audible.com. offering more than 150,000 titles for your desktop or mobile device. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm.
So if you'd like to contact us about anything that we've said today or about Voyager in general, there are lots of different ways that you can do that. If you go to our website, trek.fm/contact, there's a form there. If you look in the sidebar on our To The Journey show page on the Trek FM website, you can leave us a voicemail or go to speakpipe.com/trekfm. On Twitter, we're at @trekfm. On Facebook, you can find us under facebook.com/trekfm. And you can also find us on Facebook in the Babel Conference. Type B-A-B-E-L into the search field or go to our website, trek.fm, and click discussion on the menu bar. It's a closed group for listeners only, but if you request to join, someone will let you in. We'll look forward to chatting to you there. We also invite you to leave a rating and a review of To The Journey on iTunes, and we would love to hear any feedback or suggestions you have for the show. Suzanne, when you're not auditioning to be a Lady Gaga backing dancer, where can people find you?
Well, I'll occasionally show up on the Babel Conference, but you can find me on Twitter. My handle is @KJaneWay8. That's the letter K, Janeway, and the number 8. Zachary, if people want to talk to you about Soylent Green or buying shirts made of dead people, where can they find you?
Well, you can find me elsewhere on Trek FM as co-host of Metatrex, Trek FM show on Star Trek and philosophy, along with my co-host there, Mike Morrison. You can always find me in the Babel Conference if you want to talk about Star Trek with me there. And you can find me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, @ZacharyFruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G. And Kay, when you're not getting fitted for your David Bowie death shroud, where can people find you on the interwebs and around the Trek FM network?
Well, you can find me in the Babel Conference. Or if you want to look me up on Twitter, my handle is @ChocoWeeble.
Well, everyone, join us next week in the next emanation when we'll be podcasting from that big Lady Gaga concert in the sky. But until then, this has been To The Journey.